Hi, everybody. I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is A Good Story Is Hard to Find podcast.
Where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lies below the surface.
Oh, yeah. And this time it's episode 119, and we're going to talk about the 1978 John Carpenter film called Halloween. Perhaps you've heard of it.
Perhaps everyone's heard
of it. Yes, and we have a very special guest with us here today. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Hannah Edinburgh, Julie's daughter.
Wonderful.
And a lover of horror films.
I would like to say that Hannah is such a lover of horror films that on her honeymoon, which was, you know, last week, they watched horror movies when they weren't doing anything else.
Wow.
All the time. Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Agreed.
She's really converted her husband. Oh, good thing he's already Catholic, or he would just have to be holding on to whatever.
Yeah, was this a surprise to him, or did he see it coming?
Luckily, it was not.
Oh, good.
We had known each other for 3 years before we started dating, so he definitely knew that I loved horror.
Very
nice. Which is odd, because I spent a lot of nights sleeping in my sister's bed when I was young, my younger sister's bed, when I was young, because, like, the birds was too terrifying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Gotta watch out for those birds.
Well, you were a bit of a fearful child. Just a touch.
A little bit.
Oh,
but now she just drags her husband along and he watches through his fingers the way I do. So I love this guy because I can relate to him so well.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So this movie, what, 1978? Is it the first slasher film? Do you call it a slasher film?
I think it is credited with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, when I was watching it, I had forgotten that this was Jamie Lee Curtis's first role in a movie and how long she was in only horror movies, because now we're used to her. Now she's like the Silver Fox and, you know, been in True Lies and all these other movies. And you just think of her as this, you know, funny, talented, sexy lady and all this stuff. And you just go, oh, I forgot. She was the Scream Queen for so long.
Scream Queen.
I saw an interview with her, and she said that this was her favorite role up to True Lies.
Really?
In fact, she hands down, it was her best movie experience up till then.
Oh, that is so great.
And a Halloween franchise film could well be the last slasher film. Never movies stopped being made.
Yeah,
I think there's been 10 of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you seen all of them?
No, I've only seen this one, actually.
Okay.
I think one of them, Michael Myers, wasn't even in.
That's true. Yeah. Now, I've seen the first, I think, four. But 2, 3, and 4 were a really long time ago. But number 3 did not have Mike Myers in it, and it was a pretty big failure.
Well,
it was like Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, I think it was called. And I remember almost nothing about it. Just in the research I was doing for this one, they said Mike Myers wasn't in that. And that was a little mistake.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing that was funny is I only saw this not being a horror film lover necessarily. True story. Mm. Was when it was, I guess, a couple of years ago. Or maybe it was a year ago, Hannah and I went to visit my mother and have a 3-day horror fest, because I had been talking to her the year before that, and she'd been telling me about movie after movie she loved, and I was like, I have got to get these two together. They love horror movies, and my mother insisted I come too, which was like, thank you. And this was the first movie we watched, because my mom has it taped, and she watches it a lot.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I expected something so much more gory, and this had everything in it. And so if it's the first slasher movie, I understand why. I mean, when she's limping her way down the stairs, I'm like, oh, yes, she's limping. Okay. Will she be crawling soon? What's going on?
Oh, wow.
Part of its charm now, I think, is that since it was the first one, slasher movies now, they put these really disgusting twists in.
Yes.
And just almost torture porn type stuff, you know, or just something that's so unnecessary. And it's because they have to shock you now instead of like creatively scaring you. Mm-hmm. But this, you know, it was 1978. Yeah. Didn't have to do that.
Yeah, and they kept the kids out of it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, other than Mike Myers, but he is, as we know, no ordinary child. He is pure evil.
Evil. Fruits of the devil. Right.
Not evil. Evil.
Evil. Yeah, no, I saw this movie again, you know, when, you know, I saw it like on VHS tape a long time ago, but I was at the World Horror Convention in 2008, and I was the movie guy. So I had to program, that was my job. I programmed the film room and I selected a whole bunch of movies and I picked this one. So I watched probably 12 movies that weekend. And when I watched this one, I was stunned by how good it was. I knew, I remembered it being good, but now as an adult, when I watched it, I was like, well, that is very good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just a step above all the others. And
they kept it simple.
Yeah. And some of the things that I've learned about it, they did this thing in 4 weeks. I mean, the filming was 20 days.
Okay.
But John Carpenter promised to deliver a movie in 4 weeks with $300,000. Really? Yeah.
Who did he promise this to?
I don't remember the fellow's name. It was not a studio. He was an independent.
Oh, okay.
But he was a guy, and they went and got the money from... There's a person, and again, I don't remember his name, but he's the one that's responsible for all these sequels. He is the one who put the money up originally. So he owns the name or the franchise, at least for a while he did. I don't know if he sold out since then or not, but he said that he loved Mike Myers so much that he's going to make him tell the people stop coming. And yeah.
And he's still doing it.
Yeah, but you know, the franchise, forget the franchise. You know,
right.
Halloween 1, I mean, this movie is really just fantastic. And it was just a group of young people that came together, made this movie in 4 weeks' time with a really low budget. And they had a heck of a lot of fun doing it. And the result is really genuinely excellent.
Yeah, because he does almost a Hitchcockian thing of using suspense a lot of the time. You don't have to, I mean, you know, there are knives in hangers.
Yeah, there's not a lot of jump scares in this.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not a lot of blood in it either.
Mm-mm. Almost none, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the most graphic thing I can think of really is that girl getting strangled in the car, and there's so much fog there that you can't really even see what's going on.
Yeah, luckily. That's right.
But it's such a... It's funny because it is that kind of old-fashioned morality tale that horror movies a lot of times are talked about as being that puritanical thing of, oh, you do the nasty and you get it. But I'm like, I was thinking about that in relation to this movie, and it's like, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, that's who he starts off with. But he's going after everybody by the end. Jamie Lee Curtis is about as pure as you can get for a girl that age. I mean, the most she wants is to go to the dance with somebody. And you feel like if those kids weren't...
Ben Tramer, who was a friend of John Carpenter's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You talking about the guy who played Michael?
No, that was
Castle.
Ben Tramer.
Okay.
Who Jamie Lee Curtis says she once wouldn't mind going to the dance with.
Okay. The friend
says, I just got done talking to Ben Tramer, telling him that you want to go to the dance. And she's like, no.
Well, the names in this movie, the names in this movie are all like tributes to other people.
Yeah.
Michael Myers was somebody who gave John Carpenter his first shot.
Oh, okay.
And so he named Michael Myers after this guy. He said he's the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet, you know. And I'm sure he's like, you know, what did you do that for? And then there is Donald Pleasance's character, Sam Loomis, is from Psycho. The name Loomis.
Uh-huh.
And then Sheriff Lee Brackett.
Lee Brackett. I heard that and went, oh my gosh. That's a little known screenwriter and science fiction writer who is largely responsible for the second of the Star Wars movies. The first three, the good ones.
And this came out before the Star Wars movie. So before this, she was known for screenplays like for The Big Sleep and The Long Goodbye.
Is it a she?
Yeah, it's a she.
Okay, that's what I thought. But then the way the name was spelled, I couldn't tell. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I love that. You know, it's just fun.
I know, he said Lee Brackett.
Yeah.
Tom didn't get it. I was like, holy shit, this is wasted on you.
Yeah, Lee Brackett.
So, love it. Yeah.
But yeah, so I love the first scene of the movie, which is all from Mike Myers' point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice long shot. You know, whether it's cut or not, I'm not sure, but it was neat.
I think it's cut twice when he puts the mask on,
mm-hmm.
and one other point, but it seems continuous when you're watching.
It does, and that reminds me of you know, like Joss Whedon loves to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He loves that long shot at the beginning.
Right.
Exactly.
So did that come from Hitchcock? I don't know that Carpenter was the original there.
Well, Rope, I think, is the one where they tried to do the whole movie looking continuous, although what they would do is there was a vase or something, and so they kind of look at the vase and then pull back, but to let everybody sit down or whatever. But
gotcha.
Yeah, he did that.
Yeah.
And probably others. But it was
really impressive. And I know that the Steadicam that they used was new. You know, that was new in 1978. So the ability to do this was new.
Yeah, Panaglide.
Panaglide, that's right. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing that I didn't like about that shot is that I couldn't help noticing how high up the camera was.
Oh, yeah.
And I did think, if this is a 6-year-old.
I was like, this 6-year-old is clearly at least 5 feet tall based on the light switch placement.
Well, he was evil and levitating.
Well,
that actually makes sense.
Only the evil was what allowed me to go, so he's got at least a teenage sister who can't fight him off with a knife because he's six. And they show this tiny child with the knife and the mask and everything. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, we're going to let it all go. It's fine. But it's because it was the second time I was watching. So
yeah, I took it that she was just surprised. She didn't expect to have to fight him.
That, exactly. She was a dope, as Hannah said, you know.
I feel like also once your little brother stabbed you once, you're probably in a little bit of shock. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
Jamie Lee Curtis wouldn't. Of course, she would. She wouldn't have been in a position to do that. She was too good.
She had people to protect.
She was too pure.
Yeah, too pure. Yeah.
But now that I think of it, he didn't start out going after the other people. He saw Jamie Lee Curtis first.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, too. There was no connection there, was there? It was just that he saw her first.
Yeah.
She was at his house.
I didn't miss a connection, did I?
Mm-mm.
No, she put the key under the mat.
Right.
If he heard any of what they were saying, he could have maybe associated her with his house being sold.
Maybe, yeah. Okay.
But I think it didn't matter. I don't think it mattered to him at all. I think he just saw her and...
Yeah, because he was following her around.
Right.
Well, I have to say, that's the other thing. By the way, everybody, obviously, we're just diving in. No synopsis, nothing. but I was thinking about it going... Because one of the other things is she's like, wait, I just saw someone, and now he's gone. I saw someone in his car, and now he's gone. He's wearing a creepy mask. And then later on, the little boy's going, wait, I just saw the boogeyman. He was out there. There's no one there. And I'm like, hello? What have you been doing all day long?
Yeah.
The boogeyman's been chasing you. What's wrong with you?
Then having people tell you there's no one there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I have to say, so I also attributed this to him being evil. He's incredibly fast.
He is.
Well, the fact that we can hear him breathing behind the mask, you know, was he panting? He was running after those? No, I guess
he was breathing pretty slow. Maybe he worked out a lot in lockdown.
I also like
he was definitely strong.
You said that Donald Pleasance was only there for 5 days.
I could just see
reading the script and going, this is how bad I need money.
Yeah. Okay. You know, in the feature that I watched, he said that... He was there. Okay, they asked like Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee
Okay,
and then that's Donald Pleasance was number three. And Donald Pleasance said that his daughter, who was a musician, liked the music in Assault on Precinct 13.
That's right.
That's why he was there. So he said, yeah. So I have no idea what you're doing, but I'm here and let's see what you got. And John Carpenter said that Donald Pleasance was absolutely amazingly great. He said he was totally there the whole time. He did everything and added a lot. You know, he didn't just run through the motions. He was talking to him about, should I do it this way or that way? But he was thoroughly impressed, and they became really good friends after that.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, because he showed up. He was in, like, Escape from New York.
Oh, was he?
Well, yeah, he was the president. What else was he
in? I keep meaning to watch that again.
Aren't they making a third one?
A remake?
Oh,
that?
What?
Unnecessary.
I don't know why. Why do they have to remake things that are good?
Is Kurt Russell starring in it again? Because if not, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't even bother.
Yeah. You'll not find another snake.
They remade this original Halloween lately. I wouldn't even bother to watch it.
Yeah. Why do that?
Yeah, why remake perfect movies? Like Psycho. What on earth are they doing?
Oh, yeah, especially with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's just not fair to anyone.
Right. It's not.
Him, us, anyone.
Poor little guy.
Yeah, I know.
That's for sure. So, yeah, so Donald Pleasance's character is one that I really liked, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so to have him show up, like you said, in 5 days, they crammed a lot in 5 days. But he's the one who told us how evil he was all the time.
Pure evil.
Pure evil. And it worked great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which makes me think if Donald Pleasance wasn't a little bit psychic, because he said for the first 7 years that he was trying to get through to Michael Myers, he was just trying to break through. And then after that, the next 8 years, 10 years, I don't know.
8 years.
It was 8 years, yeah. He was trying to keep him locked away because he knew how evil he was, which is interesting because it is said several times that he has not said a word.
Yeah.
The whole time.
He said he could tell from looking in his cold, dead eyes Indeed. That there was something horrible behind them that was not human.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And actually, this time watching the movie, since I'd seen it and taken in the complex plot, I was able to kind of absorb some of that stuff more.
It's like Inception. It's got layers, you know.
Many, many layers. Where, how many places are they going to do it?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, another thing that I noticed in this movie, and I'm guessing that it's a result of them having to film it so quickly, is that a lot of the shots are longer, especially than we're used to today.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while for things to happen. Sometimes, not just the first scene, but the scenes are just long. Mm-hmm. And I love it. It was like, it's refreshing to watch. the short attention span theater that we get now, it's just cut, 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 cut. You know, this is just, for them to look out the window and see Michael Myers there staring at you, or that scene where he's carrying a body around to the front of the house and in through the front door. Man, that's spooky stuff.
Yeah, watching it happen like you're actually looking out your own window is way worse than just seeing a flash of it and them trying to make you jump.
Right.
It Absolutely. Builds realism and suspense.
Well, and I was thinking, I hadn't thought of that, but I was thinking about the scenes in the car when you were talking about that. They would just let them ride in the car, and you could tell the camera was in the back, but they were just talking about, the normal kinds of things you talk about when the dance is the next day and, hide the joint. Here's my dad, the sheriff. Yeah,
and those scenes, I think they give you the depth, or they make you care. Right, you're seeing them interact normally, as if you're in the car, right?
And at the time, they were there to establish character, and you care about the people and all this kind of thing, and plus you have to be able to hear "Don't Fear the Reaper" several times,
exactly.
Because there's a message behind everything. But the other thing was that for me, 1979 is when I graduated from college. So I was looking at that, and it was just like a time capsule of my life because they allowed so much of it to be in there. They weren't worried exactly. about just push the message forward. I was like, oh, the hair was terrible. Oh, look at this stuff. I love it. I love all this stuff. And it, so it's also carries you back to that time when it was more innocent. Everybody was just running around going trick-or-treating. Nobody worried about things the way they do now. No, everybody could just, you could, if you spilled butter all over everything, put on someone's shirt like that slut did and wash all your clothes because, you know, it was just going to be the little kid you were babysitting and no one was going to bother you.
Yeah.
Now, these days, we're all super paranoid.
Yeah, and I grew up during that time, and Halloween was so great, and now it's not as great as it used to be. But running around on the street and, you know, with your friends, you know, as a 10-year-old with your parents not concerned about you. Those days are over.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Probably because of this film.
Well, partly, maybe. I did want to say this was probably a horror film for people in a way that I don't know if John Carpenter anticipated this, but I'm sure parents looked at this and went, oh my gosh, this is my worst nightmare. This is what the babysitters have been doing the whole time I've been living with my kids.
Exactly.
I think they're just like, that is what they're doing. Oh no.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of some movies, even now, though, I don't know, Scott, if you've seen It Follows.
No, I haven't.
It's really good. And they have not as much, obviously, because it's modern, but they have those longer shots because a lot of it is about suspense. They don't over-explain what's happening, which usually takes the mystery and the fear away from it. And it's a lot of shots of just kind of life, what people are doing.
What is the appeal of the horror movie for you?
I like being scared.
Okay.
I want to be scared, which is why actually movies like It Follows, where there is an inexplicable, evil force just following you, and something unexplainable is scarier to me than Michael Myers.
I would agree with that too. Most of the slasher films that I've seen are just jumpy, which is not really being scared, it's being startled.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really care for slasher films normally. But like you're saying, things like ghosts and supernatural stuff is what gets me.
Yeah.
Well, so that raises the point. There are at least two, probably, different kinds of horror movies. So it's what scares people, right? Mm-hmm. There's the inexplicable or supernatural, or there's the human-generated stuff, like Mike Myers.
Yeah, I guess we should throw the question out there. Do you think there was a supernatural aspect to Michael Myers? Because I kind of think that there was.
Yeah, I got that. It seemed that way to me.
I think that they left it wide open for you to decide that. They didn't state it, but Donald Pleasance clearly thought that this was not human.
Well, for me, that comment that he kept making about pure evil was what made the ending work this time versus the first time I saw it, where I'm like, really? He's been stabbed. He's had horrible hangers poked in his eye. He's had various things. He's been shot and he falls out a window and then he just disappears. And I get the breathing thing. That's atmosphere. But I'm like, oh, except if he's pure evil, you can't kill evil. Right. It's not a person.
Exactly.
So to me, he was pure evil. And, it made me think about what is pure evil? Because you can't kill it. But what is evil for Catholics? It's the absence of good. Mm-hmm. It's not a positive force. It's not its own force.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the absence of good. So,
but we do believe in well, I do some forces as well. I understand what you're saying, like pure evil. So but I don't.
Oh yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. You know, like hell is the absence of God, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but which but is I also the most do believe thing. That there are actors, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I guess in a person, barring possession, it's more the absence of, I mean, you know, there are people that don't have consciences.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I agree with that too. Yeah.
And they can be, and there's even different kinds of that person. Some of them are horrible and sadistic, but some of them just want to get ahead in their careers and they'll be a little unethical about it and they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they can do without getting caught, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, because then it's when does it turn from, you know, not being good to being evil? Because I would contend evil is probably more active, even though it's the absence of good or God, it's still, it can be very active.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, the devil or people who just let themselves do whatever they want. They don't ever think about the other person or.
Yeah. He is the embodiment, made to be the embodiment of inhuman, which is why.
Mike Myers.
Yes. Yeah. Which is why they chose that mask and painted over it the William Shatner mask and painted over it and.
Melted it
a little bit. To get rid of all the features, and they chose that one over a few other choices that they had because it was expressionless.
They didn't want to that is kind of amazing. You know, it's cool how in this movie, you know, they did it so quickly, and you watch them in their interviews or whatever, and they're making these decisions, and everything just falls into place, and they get this at the end. But that was one of the things. You know, they sent a guy out to get some masks. He comes back, and he's like, okay, here's this clown. And everybody's like, yeah, that's pretty scary, right? And then they put on this blank face, and everybody's like, holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
That is really creeping me out, and that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, also, I was thinking about evil and Mike Myers, because what he is he's a monster. And so it's the monster movie, essentially.
Well, he is referenced several times as the boogeyman.
That's right. The modern monster.
Yes.
Yeah, and in the credits, they call him the Shape.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they constantly referred to him as on set, I think, also.
Yeah, okay. But they never use that word in the show, right?
Mm-mm. No, they never do.
Fascinating.
No, but I did find something because I was thinking about what with Halloween coming up and everything and the fact that we've talked about this before, Scott, some Christians and even Catholic Christians will get all worked up about Halloween. And, you know, you shouldn't acknowledge it. You shouldn't have anything to do with it. And I always kind of liked the idea of if you laugh at the devil, that makes him madder than anything. So doing this is kind of like that idea. But I did find this great quote, which talks about monsters, if you don't mind if I read it. It's from Catholic Exchange. It's from some time ago. I couldn't find it on their website anymore, maybe like 2009 or something. It says, it is the depth of the darkness of the enemy that paradoxically highlights the brilliance of the light of heaven. Indeed, the word monster comes from the same root as the word demonstrate and monstrance. A monster demonstrates what we can and will be apart from Christ. A monstrance shows forth the saving Eucharist and self-sacrificial power of him who underwent the worst horror the world has ever known to save us from the terrors of hell. He has prepared a Eucharistic table for us in the presence of Satan himself and deprived him of his prey. This Halloween, be not afraid. And I really loved the idea that a monster shows what we can and will be apart from Christ. Because in calling Mike Myers the Shape and in having something that was expressionless, you've removed all humanity from him.
Yeah, and Rose even referenced... So when he knifes the first boyfriend that he kills to the wall,
right?
he stands back and looks at him and tilts his head both ways.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, like a dog.
Sorry,
yeah.
I was hiding my eyes during that moment, so I didn't see it.
Exactly.
No, it was a very, very spooky moment, you know.
Yeah, so it's not human. It's like a dog or an animal.
Yeah. Looking and at like, what is this?
Yeah, what is this? It's almost like, you know, he's like, what does this mean? Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a good moment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's that inhuman.
Again, you wonder, you know, did they, you know, I like these details. I mean, did they think of that on the spot or what?
Right, exactly.
I just love that, yeah. But yeah. It worked. It sure did. It sure did
it
work.
It did.
But yeah, and he was, you know, superhuman. You know, like, you know,
yeah,
he got stabbed and poked and shot and everything.
No one's getting
still
a hammer in their eye and just walking around and not scream and scream and scream and scream.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's odd too, isn't it? To be silent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The only time he got flustered is when his mask got pulled off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about too. Yeah, he really did get upset and he pulled that right back on.
Right back on, yeah.
So he was hiding.
And that was something that John Carpenter said was interesting about audience projection. They showed people the scene and audiences said they loved how disfigured and distorted his monstrous face was.
Oh, really?
Under the mask?
It was just normal.
Yeah, it was. It was just the guy's face.
He had a fat eye or whatever from the poke, right? But didn't he?
Right. Yeah, but it was just him.
But it was just a guy. Just
audiences knew.
You know, that's fascinating because remember in our last podcast, we talked about Jekyll and Hyde and the description of the horror was, I know he was deformed in some way, but he really isn't. And I can see him in my mind's eye. And that's fascinating that the audience would project this deformity on this person's face.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? That's really something else.
Because they all know he's inside. He's like that. It should show up on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That is like
Jekyll. So there's something true, really true about what Stevenson wrote. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say what did it for me, the first time I saw this movie, I was watching, I was going, oh, huh, ooh, that's okay, that's good. And it was when they have the scene in the bedroom and she's spread out on the bed, and I believe she's in a crucified position. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
now.
I think she is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's the gravestone over her and the pumpkin and everything. And to me, that pulled it all together. And it didn't mean that there was any meaning I understood, but it was clearly what meant everything to him.
Yeah.
The dead sister. Yeah. You were just like her.
Well, yeah. And I guess going back to the beginning of the movie, when we see Jamie Lee Curtis in school and she looks out and she sees Michael Myers stalking her from the car. But in English class, they're talking about fate. Right. And they had just read Samuels, or they said, who believed that fate was like an element, like water or fire, that was immovable and unchangeable. You couldn't ever change your fate.
And there was Chastain or Chastin. I don't know how they said it because I looked the quote up. They said he believed fate had to do with religion.
Mm-hmm.
Or was related to religion. I can't remember the exact quote. But this guy, Samuels, believed it was an element, just like you said, immovable, unchangeable.
Yeah.
And so the movie shows you that clearly Mike Myers is going that way.
Exactly. He's finishing what he started.
Mm-hmm.
Super.
Yeah. If this is his fate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he is into it.
And what about her fate? Not avoidable, just there at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
Dropping that key off, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, and there's no rhyme or reason for it at that point. So at that point, you're in the hands of pure evil because you happened to cross its path.
And it was a nice touch adding in everyone's nightmare even in a small town where everybody knows each other,
mm-hmm.
run down the street to the so-and-so's house, call the police, whatever. And she's running from Michael Myers from the neighbor's house across the street. The neighbors are home and they won't open up. They look outside and they see her. She's screaming for help and they turn the porch light off.
Yeah.
I know.
Everybody's nightmare.
Oh, I know. Man. I saw that and I thought, you know, in a small town, she had desperate terror in her voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just fooling around on Halloween. And I'm like, you wouldn't at least call the sheriff and go get those damn kids off my lawn? I mean, something.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to complain again about the sheriff letting Donald Pleasance call all the shots when he's like, should I put out a warning? Oh, no, they'll just see him on every street corner then. I'm like, that's okay. Yeah, bring them all in.
Why was that so bad? Donald Pleasance, for being super insightful about Michael Myers, he was very questionable in some of the choices he made.
Yeah.
Oh, the patients are wandering around in the rain at night.
When I we think I'll get out of the car.
Mental institution. Oh, the fences are open. Let's keep driving up to the gate. No, just stay here in the car. I'm going to go walk out here and see what's going on. Did you hear me just tell you about the world's most evil patient that lives here? I'll be right back.
Yeah. Oh, well, you've got you're driving and you've got your match, your matches from, like, you know, the Kit Kat Club or someplace clearly sexually oriented.
Yeah.
This is not a good sign. I do love that. It's like,
oh, man.
What are you doing? I love him.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Worst judgment in the whole world.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that fate versus, well, I guess the two versions of fate.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it so horrific.
Yeah.
You can't get away from it. Any personal choice you make off the table. No free will. You're just kind of in the hands of whoever's rolling that dice, I guess.
Exactly.
And it's not you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're in the control of the free will of the other person, I guess, right?
Well, the monsters.
Right, right.
In this case.
Yeah, that's why, you know, it's just a matter of fate, you know, that she put the key under that mat. That's just, it's amazing.
Should have been her dad that was getting... I mean,
it's kind of nice that they didn't put a connection in there, but it's funny that my mind is searching for one, probably because I've been trained by every other movie. He's, you know, she's like his little sister or something like that, you know.
Right.
You find out at the end.
Well, and that's what the human brain does.
Yeah.
Try to find patterns, even in images that have no pattern, you look for one.
And maybe is that add to the horror that this is really, truly random and it's truly something that you wouldn't be able to get away from.
You can't explain it.
Yeah, I would say it definitely does because of extreme, I think they're extremely horrifying horror movies like... like the one where the people come by and they start murdering the people who live in some house. And they were like, why are you doing this? And it was just because they were home. Things like, and those are always the worst.
That's terrible.
Well, right?
Yeah.
So it's horrifying,
yes.
But it's so random.
Because there's no reason.
You could never have stopped it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No talking would get you out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, Captain Picard would be completely impotent. He would be able to do nothing. That's when you need Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk, on the other hand, he would have just handled it. He wouldn't have cared. Well, and Rose mentioned that's one of the things she loves about this movie is that they don't try to explain it. You know, you make a movie today, you have to explain everyone's motivations. You maybe have to feel sad for Mike Myers a little bit because something happened to twist him or open him up to pure evil or whatever it is. She's like, nope. Here's how it is. We're just living with it.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Yeah. Let's find out.
And is that what's refreshing about it to me?
To Rose, it was.
Yeah. I mean, because I feel that. And it's like, hey, I'm filling all this stuff in and I love it.
Exactly.
You know, well, I'm deciding whether Michael Myers, you know, where he came from, you know, is in my head. It's not in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And
leaves it open.
That was part of the charm of It Follows, which is that it's this, I mean, you don't even know what it is. You learn there are some rules
Tell us a little bit about this movie since you've mentioned it.
Okay, that's fair. So a girl, their 19-year-old, has a summer fling, and after they have sex in the back of his car, he says, I have passed this thing on to you. And it's always going to, wherever you are, it is walking towards you.
From whatever
distance.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it touch you. If it, you know, you'll die. And if you die, it's going to come for me again. The best thing that you can do is pass this on as soon as possible. And he's doing it because that's what happened to him. So this thing, it's never actually explained. Like, you don't ever really know what it is. You don't know where it came from. This guy doesn't know either. Everybody's thrust into this situation. And it's really, really creepy.
And so it's just encouraging everyone to be awful to each other because it gets it off their back.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the worst kind of, oh, man, that is really diabolical, because it brings out the worst in everyone.
Right. So after, you know, when you first hear it, you would never do that. But then after you've been pursued for a while.
And what it do
never,
you do?
Yeah. Never runs. It just walks.
Wow.
Is it like a shape or something, or a...
It can take any... It takes a lot of different forms.
So no one can ever come near you or touch you again because you don't know what it is, basically. Yeah. That's also awful.
Well, the other thing is, they're the only ones that can see it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, also it makes other people think you're crazy because you're like, do you see that guy over there? Yes. Oh, good.
Well, see this, I'm listening to this going, this is where I want Angel to come in and save me.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that makes Joss Whedon's stuff so good, is because he takes the other side. Of course, you never usually believe your heart. You're never really that scared by anything he's showing you. But it's the noble part of humanity. It's, I'm going to save you. Somebody does care. Even if I fail, I tried. You know, you mattered. And these movies, like this one or Halloween even, the people don't matter. It's who can save themselves. I mean, now Jamie Lee Curtis isn't acting that way. She's saving those little kids.
True.
And she's doing what she can. And that's the humanity that we relate to. Because those other kids, even when they're trying to be nice and going, I told Ben Tramer about, you know, well, that's not a nice way to do that either.
Exactly.
They're jerks.
Exactly.
And we all know they're jerks.
And that is the question, though, in It Follows. Is she going to do that?
Yeah, don't tell me, because I'm sure I'll be forced to watch it through my fingers with you someday.
Definitely will.
That's definitely on my list. I got to check it out.
Yeah. Although I guess he did make, Joss Whedon did make Cabin in the Woods, which I hated because...
Well, he wrote it, yeah.
The ending. Mm-hmm. Well, he wrote it.
The dismal ending, yes.
Yes.
You're not a fan of the dismal ending.
No. I'm not, because, I mean, I could appreciate it in this. Especially once I kind of absorbed that idea of pure evil, because the whole thing about pure evil is we do have to be kind of like Angel. We have to be the ones who will try to be a little braver, try to be a little better, try to be the champions, because who's going to if every person doesn't try to help each other and help fight the evil that's out there, whether it's low level, you know, careless stuff that happens that we can't explain, like the car accident that you can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
You're helping the people get over it, the survivors, or, you know, whatever, or whether it's pure malicious evil, and people can be terrible to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody's got to try and make it better. And we're the ones here to do it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully. I've watched two horror movies in the past month or so with dismal endings. One of them was Night of the Living Dead,
which was
Romero's original one, the black and white one. I think they remade that too, which is, again, is unnecessary.
Yeah.
But the end of that one was rough. I mean,
it's tough.
Yeah. It's very sad.
Is no one getting out alive? I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in a way.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. And then the other one is the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a really cool, you know, talk about jumpy. I mean, as far as cuts, mm-hmm. you know, that one's almost hard to watch without getting nauseous. There's so many, it's meant to just be kids filming, they're filming themselves as they're walking through the woods and stuff.
Right. Investigating the legend of the Blair Witch.
Right. And so what this is supposed to be is a found footage film. So, you know, if you're finding the footage, what happened to the people? Right.
Exactly.
So, but it's also had a dismal end.
And there are some with dismal endings, such as the film that we watched last night, Drag Me to Hell.
I always liked the premise of that, but I've been told by you and, or maybe Rose at least, not to watch it. And I'm like,
it's
okay,
Sam
fine.
Raimi.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some Evil Dead type just grossness.
Mm-hmm.
In it that is kind of funny. Mark laughed a lot, but it's also just you wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
But this, does she deserve the punishment that the kind of punishment that she's getting for this? No. But what she did is it was her choice to deny an old poor gypsy woman an extension on her house loan. And she was up for a promotion, and she wanted to look good in front of the manager, and so she didn't. And the gypsy cursed her, basically to hell for eternity, after being tormented by a demon for 3 days, which would then come for her and
take
her to
hell. That's very extreme.
It's a little extreme, for sure. but, you know, in the end, she gets dragged to hell. And she did things to deserve it.
Well, so that brings up something else that I was thinking about. Now, I will throw I have a movie I love that if Halloween hadn't come up, we would have done this one because it's probably the most purely evil character.
Ooh, I think I know what you're going to say, but I still haven't watched it. Yeah, Let the Right One In.
Yeah,
you mentioned it to me before.
The Swedish one. Yeah,
but I still
exactly.
haven't watched it.
Oh, well, the next time I get so in a couple of years, I guess you'll choose next Halloween. But and this doesn't exactly apply to that movie, but I was thinking about pure evil again and what Hannah's saying and a little bit of what you've been saying. And actually, Cabin in the Woods does this too, is I think a lot of the way that we look at pure evil in these movies is it's an application of strict justice with zero mercy.
Yeah.
You did this thing, I will punish you. Now, whether we think the punishment is suitable to the crime, that's different. The judge has decided.
And there are no extenuating circumstances.
Right. We're never going to give you another chance. Death is the penalty, or going straight to hell, or, you know, the end of the world, whatever it is. Or, you know, all the various things that happen in the cabin in the woods, you know, which it makes it hilarious to me that one of the movies with the kindest, most supportive people ever is Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I know.
Have you seen that?
I have not, no.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you want to talk about a horror movie my husband would probably watch every night? It's a slasher movie, but it's basically got, oh, gosh, the guy who played Wash on Firefly, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
And, gosh, I can't remember who the other guy is. But anyway, basically, it's a slasher movie, but it's told from the point of view of these two innocent hillbillies who just inherited, like, you know, a cabin by the lake. Uh-huh. But these college kids are out for a weekend in the, you know, at the lake, and they see these two guys, and they make all the wrong assumptions, and things go awry, gorily and hilariously. But these two hillbillies are the nicest, most charitable, merciful people you'll ever find.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So it's
really hilarious.
Yeah, it is funny. And I guess it's because it turns that whole thing on its head.
And that's what Cabin in the Woods did too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so that whole thing about strict justice with no mercy, you have to have justice or things will be chaotic. But you have to have mercy or there's no humanity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, in Jamie Lee Curtis's case, you know, what was her crime? So you've also got justice gone wrong, too.
Right.
He's meeting out justice on someone who doesn't deserve it in that case.
Yeah, you can't talk to them, which is why, you know, Skynet is so horrifying. Mm-hmm. Because basically, with only strict justice and no mercy, you're sort of a...
You can't win.
Just a robot.
Yeah, yeah, if you're misunderstood, there's no correcting that.
Yeah, you've just decided this thing. I mean, even when Arnold is good in those movies, it's because he's been reprogrammed.
Right. Well, you're right.
In the second movie...
Yeah.
It's not like he changed his mind.
Right, yeah, he was given a new mission.
Exactly.
Well, and that makes me think of, oh, crud. What's the movie now? Well, never mind. We can move on. But there's some other one where it's all, oh, Scott, you and I watched a long time ago, I, Robot with Will Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, in a sense, it was not only, was that robot dispensing strict justice? It seems to me it was dispensing strict mercy.
Yeah,
it you can't was. Take yeah. care of yourselves, so I will mercifully make sure that no one goes outside.
Exactly. Anyone exactly, who does, yeah.
right?
Anyone who does will be killed because you're not behaving. You know, I can't keep you safe.
Exactly. Well, that's a fascinating connection. You know, with the Terminator movies, Skynet and Mike Myers mm-hmm. as being sort of kin.
Yeah,
in that way, because you can't argue with them. That's mm-hmm. fascinating to me. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good point, Hannah.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, yeah, here we are all technologized in, you know, our mm-hmm. lives more so and more so and more so. There could be something, mm-hmm. you know, deep down that's horrifying about it.
Well, and I think that's why the fact that we'll use it for things like this podcast where we're all just sitting around talking, mm-hmm. which is not efficient, you know. keeps it human, you know, mm-hmm. or SFF audio or any of those things like that. Father Barron doing his little YouTube things. It's what keeps the human.
Yeah, we're using it as a tool instead of more than that.
Right.
Exactly. And you can also go the other way. Another movie that Mark and I put on, Mark actually put it on as a filler while we were trying to find something else after we had turned off another John Carpenter movie, actually, called The Ward.
Oh, yeah. That's his latest one. I have not seen it, but.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay.
Yeah. No. Starring Johnny Depp's much younger wife.
Uh-huh.
23 years younger. No big deal. You're 2 years away from being Michael Douglas, but whatever. You're fine.
even Johnny Depp doesn't have that, you know, that's not a good excuse.
Yeah, it's so much creepier that Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones have the exact same birthday. It's so much weirder.
Yeah.
It's fine. Mm. So, that I feel like maybe John Carpenter has become the Jack Nicholson of directors and has started just phoning it in big time.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Because the problem with The Ward was that on paper, and I'm sure the script, you know, read fine, but when you watched it, you didn't care about anybody. I didn't even care what the twist was. And mm-hmm. that's rare. I mean, I'll sit down and watch.
Yeah, that is rare for Carpenter. I mean, that's one of his things to me. I like most of the movies I've seen that he's done. But I always care about the people. That's the, like, part of it.
Exactly.
Did you see Vampires with James Woods? It's a good one. Yeah, I mean, it's more of an action movie than a horror movie, but it is about vampires. He's a vampire killer.
Oh,
fun. James fun Wood. Movie.
That's hilarious because that's just not really is. Doesn't seem like his style.
He did a good job.
We'll do a double feature, that and Blade.
There you go. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But it was not good, so we turned that off and we put on this movie that I think was really low budget called The Den.
I've heard of it.
Hmm. Yeah. So it's... You wouldn't like it, Mom.
I'm not ready. You notice I'm not writing it.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's about this... It's sort of found footage in that it's all like webcams, computer, and cell phone cams.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's being recorded. And it's this girl who's a grad student and she wants a grant to study how people interact with other people that they would never normally see on this site that is called The Den, which is basically chat roulette, where you just click next and then you're seeing anybody.
Okay. Oh, wow.
First of all, she saw far less penises than she would have, I think, in real life on those things.
Yes,
that's mostly what they are.
Right.
But she sees, she witnesses what she thinks is a murder, and then that profile starts stalking her. They hack her computer. They turn her camera on when she thinks it's off.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to stalk her and her friends and acquaintances in real life.
Wow. Almost a Rear Window.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the scary thing is you don't know why they're doing it. And they can't really be reasoned with. And she's so linked into technology that she can't get away from them.
The new
because
bugaboo.
Because what the police said, which this is not always helpful because they tell a lot of women to do this in cases where they're actually getting like death threats and being stalked online. And they're like, just turn your computer off. Great. Thank you. But
I used to live in this world, but never mind.
Yeah. Like one of her friends was like, I think you should stay away from this site for a while. That wouldn't have helped because they had hacked into her computer. But honestly, if she had turned her computer off, you find out later the reason they're doing this. And if she had turned her computer off, it wouldn't have happened. They would have stopped.
Oh.
They needed the videos. They were selling snuff films.
So the message was you should unhook.
Mm-hmm.
See, and think of how many
and
of those
talk to strangers.
Kind of messages we're starting to see now coming out in these movies. And, of course, horror movies are a huge reflection of what we're worried about because that's what scares us. Now, of course, there's the ghost and the supernatural, and that always comes through in various things. But then when you're talking about this, you know, Halloween was, you know, you shouldn't be having sex. You shouldn't be messing around with Mike Myers, of course, you know, his house and everything like that.
Don't
you know,
go to a haunted, cursed house.
Well, also wise advice for all of us.
It is.
But where?
I have that on a pillow.
Mark loves it. Anyway, but also there are no parents in this mm-hmm. movie except one who's a sheriff. The kids are taking care of everybody. Where are the parents? The other set of parents, they went off to a party. So, see, these are all the things people are starting to worry about and, you know, the drugs and everything. Mm-hmm. And now you've got this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you could look at that as a distraction as well. Huh?
Yeah, the technology and everything.
Yeah, I mean, and even in Halloween, you know, the parents are distracted by other things. The teenagers are distracted by each other.
Yeah. No
Jamie
one's doing
Lee Curtis
what they're supposed to be
seems
doing.
To be on task.
Yeah, her and the two little kids.
Yeah,
two
because of the two little kids, she's on task.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And because the kid sees it.
Yeah, right, and because she can't get hooked up. Yeah, because when she's distracted, I realized after I'd complained about it, the reason she's distracted, because of a boy.
Exactly.
Because the friend has, you know, no, call him back, tell him this. So she's so worried about that, she's not going to listen to the kid anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She's thinking about the wrong thing. So what I also was thinking is when Hannah was talking, have you seen that movie Mama? I think, was that produced by Guillermo del Toro,
produced by him.
I did see that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I only saw it because of our horror fest. Hannah brought it, and it was quite good, I thought. But it made me think of also Let the Right One In, because in that, the motivation for evil is not pure justice. It is selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
The mama wants her little kids still.
Yeah,
that's all she can see. She needs little kids to make her feel better because of what happened. You know, Let the Right One In. There's clear problem there with selfishness and not caring about what anybody else needs. And that selfishness, I think, comes from an overweening sense of yourself and pride because what you want is more important than what anyone else wants. What they want doesn't matter, which also is the problem with severe justice. What you think and judge is more important than what anybody else thinks or needs because you know and they don't.
Exactly.
So it all comes back to pride in the end, which is, they say, the first sin. That's what leads to all the other sins.
How about that? This is fascinating stuff. I love it. This is, I haven't thought this deeply about horror films for a long time, but...
I know, right?
It is neat. Yeah.
Well, certainly since I was thinking Halloween is, I watched it and I went, oh my gosh, I got pure evil. That's all I got, man. What are we going to talk about? But that's before we get into the mix.
Yeah, yeah. But I do love this movie.
I really do.
I love the story behind how they made it and everything like that.
But
the movie itself just came out great.
Yeah, I just love it as a time capsule, both of horror movies and of the time, as I said. And I also just love, it's just so pure. I mean, I know at the time it didn't seem pure, but now you look back and the things people worried about just were so simple.
I know.
And maybe it's the age of the people too, but you know, the movie's not worrying about everything else that's going on. It's just looking at this little capsule right here.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
nice. And it did have that Halloween feel to it, you know, when I was a kid, you know, the, to be running around like that, you know, the street that they chose and everything really looked nice. It was the tone of it, the, you know, really liked it.
And it was so Midwestern. I grew up in Kansas and I looked at that and went, oh yeah, the old neighborhoods around in the Midwest and Illinois especially do look all look like that.
So. Where was it shot though? Because I thought I saw a big palm tree.
It was shot in Hollywood. Yeah.
Oh, was it?
But it was supposed to be, it was Haddonfield, Illinois.
Illinois.
And
right.
They picked a street that looked as Midwestern as they could find.
Okay.
So they were trying to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't show the top of the palm tree, but palm trees are the only, whatever.
Right.
It was clearly a palm tree from
it's
the
It's a trunk. Huge piece of grass. We all get it. No. Oh, no. Sorry.
Whatever.
Never mind.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Arborist, do tell us.
Maybe
what
I will tell you.
What is
that? How's that for a horror movie?
Oh, no. Trapped on a car trip with Hannah as you go by tree after tree. No, it would be a delight, dear.
Yep.
Purely
is,
wonderful.
Is and was. yeah, so think about that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't none of those leaves were real. Those were paper leaves.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That they colored and they... And they were very low budget, so they had to pick them up
and move them
exactly
from place to place.
They did, yeah.
Okay, that both horrifies me, just ruined the magic, and I love it because it's so high school, let's put on a play.
I know, isn't it?
And they
it?
Talked about Jamie Lee Curtis helping them out. You know, she's not going to stand there or sit in her trailer. She was carrying stuff and putting leaves in bags or whatever needed to happen.
Yeah, I understand they had a lot of people just wear their own clothes because they didn't have a big budget. She was told to go to JCPenney's and spend $100 on what she would buy.
Yeah.
So I guess she was a nerdy teen or at least knew what a nerdy teen would wear.
Right.
Funny to think of, you know, Janet Lee. Is it Janet Lee?
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Curtis's daughter.
Right, right.
Here, go to Penny's.
I know.
That is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Nick Castle. He played Mike Myers. Up until the face reveal, they got someone else to do that. But he was just a friend of John Carpenter's who lived around the block from where they were filming. And he came in one day and said, hey, do you mind if I hang out on set? I'm trying to be in movies too.
Oh.
And John Carpenter said, sure, but you know, why don't you do something too? And Carpenter liked the way he walked.
Okay.
So he said, you know, wear this mask, you know, I saw an interview where Nick Castle said he was describing asking John Carpenter what his motivation was. And he said, no, just walk.
You don't have to know why you're walking. Just
exactly.
do it.
Just, you know, so it was like one of the first scenes that he filmed was the walking across the street, you know, after Jamie Lee Curtis. And
okay.
Yeah, just walk.
And, right.
Yeah.
Like there's no backstory for you either.
Right.
No one gets one.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's completely blank. Just walk.
Mm-hmm. They also filmed everything out of order, partly because they only had Donald Pleasance
right.
for 5 days. So he had like a scarometer for Jamie Lee Curtis to tell her how scared she should be.
Oh, right.
How about that? Yeah, because the thing really does increase in tension. The whole thing just goes up and up and up and up and up.
Oh, yeah, which is why
exactly.
it's not even
when
a roller coaster.
When you have the knife,
really.
Even if you stabbed a knitting needle into the guy and you took his knife away, you keep the knife.
Yeah, you keep the knife. You never.
The knife.
But
ever.
See, Laurie Strode had never seen any of those movies. She didn't have that benefit.
She was too sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, This is not related to horror movies, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. But if a giant guy in a mask comes into my house and is trying to murder me and I stab him really good, like even if I cut his head off fully, I'm not staying in the house with a body.
Well, she had to go up and get the kids.
What about when she sent the kids away? Okay. She's like, you guys go.
Good point.
And she already thought that he was dead at
good
that point.
Good point.
Why wouldn't she go with him?
Yeah.
But she's just sitting there with her back to the body.
She's freaking out. She's got, it's a shock
thing. Sitting there by the door.
When you're in shock, you don't know what you're doing.
Don't defend her.
I am defending
her. She's not Michael Myers' sister.
I wondered at the time, why is she sitting there with her back to the door? Other than, here's a good opportunity to freak us all out. But I was like, when you're in shock, you aren't thinking straight. I'm on Lori's side.
I feel like I might not be thinking straight on my way to a different state, but.
Well, I would probably be screaming, come on, kids, let's go. I bet I can beat you down the stairs even with this knife in my hand. But, exactly. You know.
Absolutely.
Kids, you hold the fort down.
That's
here, and
funny.
I'll be right back. I'm going to go get help.
He's never hurt a child yet.
Yeah. One more interesting thing that I saw in the interview was John Carpenter describing the very last scene, and Donald Pleasant said, how do you want me to play this?
Oh, right.
And Carpenter was like, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, do you need me to say, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this? Or do you want me to do, I knew this would happen?
Mm.
And exactly. Carpenter did them both.
Or oh, really?
Carpenter had him do them both because he couldn't decide. And
mm-hmm.
they used, I knew this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is really the best, because when I did love the fact that he looks out and he's like, oh, crap, he's gone. And you just hear the breathing. And Lori is inside just sliding down, sobbing helplessly against the wall. She doesn't know what he's seen. She's just reacting. But you feel like she's reacting to the fact that he's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
right, right.
It really held together so well. It's just so...
Yeah, it is. And yes, then whoever thought at the end of putting the just empty spaces where he was at some point mm-hmm. in the movie, at the very end there, just showing you a kitchen,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah,
and the bedroom,
exactly.
You know, that was great.
With the breathing behind the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. I did love the part also where... you know, Jamie Lee Curtis is doing one scream after another as she's gone into, I guess it's the kitchen where everybody's crammed in these incredibly small spaces, like you rolled them up like a towel.
It's very strong.
And evidently those actors they must have cut a lot of stuff away behind those cabinets. Because I was thinking later at the time, I just accepted them as dead bodies, not thinking about those are real people.
Mm. Yeah.
Dead there.
Yeah. That another strength of a lot of, it's sort of like, you know, when they show the monster, that's mm-hmm. when it's not scary anymore.
Right.
If there's a horrifying alien, as soon as you show the alien, it's not as scary as it was.
Yeah.
But the same thing is, well, usually. But
aliens, I will argue.
Well, agreed. But that's, I mean, one of the best movies ever. So
agreed. High five.
Yeah. But a lot of times the same is true for dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also makes it more real. Like, when you see a dead body, you're probably not going to go put your face in its intestines. You're going to see it and be like, oh, that's horrible, and then walk away. And, like, when he found the guy who worked at the garage where
right.
Michael Myers took his clothes.
I forgot that, yeah.
He didn't really find the body.
No, he didn't.
It just panned a little bit. So you just saw a little bit of it.
Yeah, and
when he
didn't
was walking away.
See the body at all.
Mm-mm.
He just found the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's creepier than doing a close-up of his stab mm-hmm. wounds.
Agreed.
As Donald
yeah.
Pleasance is horrified.
Yeah.
Agreed, yeah. Agreed. And yeah, the most tense moments in the movie were when you didn't know where Mike Myers was.
Yeah.
It was like, where is he? Where is he? Oh, he's right there. Yeah. Okay.
Especially when
it's still
Debbie
spooky
or
what
Susie
he's doing,
or
but yeah.
Whatever her name was who was washing her clothes was stuck through the window.
Annie,
thank you. Wow, mm-hmm. good memory. It didn't really matter. She was stuck through the window, you know?
I know.
And I was like, oh, that's as much cheesecake as we can get in here, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know. But the whole time I was afraid he was gonna just slit her throat right there.
Yeah, I kind of thought he was. I thought I remembered that happening, but it was not the case.
Yeah. And then that little girl trots out there to open the door.
Yeah.
And you're like, yikes.
Yeah. So also, what kind of little laundry room was that where you lock yourself in from the inside?
In a little shed in the back.
Yeah.
Also,
You locked yourself in. How? What door did you install?
Yeah.
That's not a nice feature.
Yeah. Whoever did that should be shot or stabbed.
And there are no cell phones.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that was good, because if they'd have all been able to call each other automatically, it would have really ruined everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't cut the phone lines anymore.
I thought of that.
Yeah. So what they do instead now is they can either have it set in a really rural place.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's little to no signal, as in you're next.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can, if it's something big, like an alien attack, mm-hmm. then all the electricity is just out.
The cell towers are out.
And nothing works.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have...
Does anyone ever steal all the cell phones?
I'm sure it's happened, but... Sometimes
the killer
just
call
you
on the cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes inexplicably, your cell phone just doesn't work anymore. Like, the killer has done something
magic
to make it not work. And there are cell phone blockers, I think, where you know.
True.
Devices where you can block any kind of signal for a certain distance. I don't know.
I'm sure that Arnold Schwarzenegger would know how to run one of those too.
I feel like he would.
Yeah.
And all those youngsters on CSI.
Exactly.
Those youngsters. That's right, Granny.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's right.
Cool. Well, is there anything else y'all want to say about Halloween?
I think we said a lot.
We did.
And how about you?
I love it. No, I'm used up. I talked about it. But thank you for picking this movie, because I really do love it. I think
you're welcome.
I own this one. Yeah.
Well, I was so shocked that I really loved it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was good.
When I saw it.
I had never seen it either before that.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was a real revelation.
Yeah. That's great. By the way, there is a YouTube video. It's not so much a video as a music file. But I want you to look it up. It's horror themes in major keys. They are so cheerful and upbeat.
You sound like
it should be a montage of somebody inventing something. Or like, I don't know. It's really great.
All right. Awesome.
I love that.
And I've got It Follows written down.
Good. It's amazing.
Cool.
That was great.
Well, thank you very much, Hannah, for being here. That was fun.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes. It was really fun. Thanks for having me.
Good. Anytime at all.
That's right. Well, sometime we're going to do Aliens and she'll have to be here.
That's another one of my favorites. So pick it anytime too.
Yeah. You won't be able to keep me away.
I feel like next year I should be close to Mother's Day at some point for a movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's my favorite Mother's
Day. That's going to be a Mother's Day movie.
Said before. So, there's plenty of Mother's Day.
There's something awesome about Aliens being a Mother's Day movie.
I think I've said before that all three of us but for Mother's Day.
That is great.
It's also a good breakup movie.
Yeah. The one relationship thing in there is an exchange of glances and first names, and that's it.
Well, he teaches her how to use the flamethrower. That's pretty romantic.
That's very romantic.
Yes.
Exactly.
We're screwed, man. We're screwed. Oh, too good.
I know. Game over, man. Game over.
He's the guy in The Office you wish wasn't in The Office.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah. You don't like him either way.
Like, come on, man. It's not that bad. Be happy.
And when he's happy, he's just a jerk. So you don't want him around. You want Vasquez.
Yeah, all the that's time. Right. Can't get enough of Vasquez.
That's right. Can't get enough of – okay, and then this is all I'll say about that. Mm-hmm. That movie does an insanely good job of developing characters for how many people are in that movie for a really short period of time.
Yeah,
you know and love almost all of them.
Well,
or at least even if you don't love them, you know them.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Even Gorman at the end.
Yeah.
Redeems himself.
Even Gorman. Yeah, never mind. We've got to stop.
Did you know?
For another hour, man. Oh.
Did you know that Joss Whedon wrote Aliens 3 or Alien 3?
Oh, yeah. I think I did know that.
Well,
yeah.
I've never watched it, and I don't acknowledge it even exists. So. Aliens is the only
one. Yeah, I think it was a difficult thing for him to do. But
I bet.
It was a challenge.
Yeah.
But awesome.
I am not willing to try to go over.
Cool.
But that's it. So all anybody right. who didn't want to watch Halloween, watch Aliens as a monster movie. That's
you
all
bet.
I'm saying.
Or it follows.
King Kong, the original. Which is, you know, tame, but the best of the bunch.
He died for our sins.
King Kong.
King Kong, yeah.
He truly did.
Yeah.
All monkeys die. It's this one.
Good
another
stuff.
On my top 10 list. Mm-hmm. This is terrible.
You have a King Kong on your top 10 list?
It's the 1920 whatever.
Okay, version. The original
yes,
one. Nice.
33 of course. Favorite.
Very cool. All right.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful.
I love it.
It's great.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Well, again, thank you very much.
Thanks.
And happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
All right. We'll see you later, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.